From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. One of the largest Latino street gangs in Los Angeles has been accused of targeting blacks just because of race. Federal prosecutors say the Florencia 13 gang, also known as F-13, has deliberately shot and killed blacks, and some of the victims were singled out even if they had no gang affiliation. Authorities say it was an effort to push blacks out of the Florence Firestone neighborhood near Watts. Some have even raised concerns about a potential race war. Joining me now to talk about a major investigation into the Florencia 13 gang is Los Angeles County Sheriff Lee Baca. Sheriff Baca, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. And as you've indicated, there is an extensive amount of effort by the Sheriff's Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office, members of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the FBI, and the Sheriff, and then quite frankly, even the LAPD. And the whole thing is based on a violent gang that is basically in a drug war with another gang. And we've had a number of murders over the years. And at the same time, when the Florencia gang has dispatched their people, their shooters, to go out and shoot rival gang members, and they can't find rival gang members, then they've been alerted to just shoot any African-American they see.
Well, Sheriff Baca, we have a couple more people with us. NPR's Mondalit Del Barco, she has been covering the Florencia 13 extensively, spoken with some of the gang members. We've also got Earl Afari Hutchinson, L.A.-based author of The Latino Challenge to Black America. Guys, thanks for coming on. We're going to talk more with you in a second, but Sheriff, why don't you tell me about Operation Joker's Wild?
Simply, in order to deal with a violent gang, you have to have a lot of resources. And as I identified earlier, those resources are all working in a team effort. A lot of our energy is spent in surveilling gangs, monitoring their phone conversations. And it was in monitoring one of the conversations that we were able to detect this more blatant racist effort by Florencia 13.
Now, how many of these indictments are racially motivated, in your opinion?
Well, you would have to talk to U.S. Attorney particularly about that, but there is at least one, and that's all you need. You see, the issue is not volume. It's the fact that in a particular incident, there was an instruction by a shot caller to a field shooter to shoot any black once the field shooter couldn't locate a rival black gang member. That's enough right there, and that leads to us to be very, very wary of this. And there's been other examples with Wilmington area in the past where African-Americans were targeted by Latino gangs because of their being an African-American. That's enough for me.
Mondalit, you have been down to the Florence Firestone area. What's the neighborhood like? How's it evolved over the past couple decades?
Well, Farai, this is a neighborhood in South L.A., like you said, not that far from Watts. And at one time, this area was mostly African-American, but now it's primarily Latino. The story I heard from investigators is that Florencia 13, Florencia being Spanish for Florence, of course, began in the early 1950s as a turf gang that rumbled with its rivals. But now there are perhaps 2,000 members or associates in at least 30 cliques. The U.S. Attorney's Office tells me that over the years, Florencia got more and more involved in criminal activity. And like a lot of street gangs in L.A., a lot of the shots are called by members who are locked up in California prisons. They supposedly instruct the so-called soldiers in the streets to do what they call putting in work or doing their dirty work. And in the hierarchy of Florencia 13, I'm told that some of the members in prison are also part of La M, the Mexican Mafia, another prison gang. According to the investigators, there was one member of this gang who is now in federal prison who specifically gave the orders to have Florencia gang members stop fighting their Latino rivals and start attacking their black rivals instead.
You've interviewed some of the F-13 gang members in the neighborhood. Tell me about one young man you've spoken with and what he has to say about the racial tensions between gangs.
Yeah, well, after the leaders of Florencia were rounded up, I went to the heart of this neighborhood and I met up with a 13-year-old. Now, for his protection, I'm only going to use his street name, Wacko.
My friends are black, too, and we close, too. We like blood. For me, it's all the same color for me. I don't care what color they are, as long as they're my friends, it's all cool with me, as long as they don't betray me.
What about the other guys in your clique? Are they cool with black people?
Yeah, they're cool with black people, too. We don't got nothing against them.
Well, that sounds like a complete contrast to what we've heard.
That's right. Well, it goes to show that whatever thoughts this little kid has personally at home or in school among people he knows, he still faces some of the bigger racial tensions in the neighborhood. And he talked about some of the attitudes he's encountered, too.
Every time when they see us, like, they try to dog us.
Who does?
The black people.
What do they say?
And they just look at us like damn, we just, I keep on walking. I don't say anything to them because I know black people, too. And I ain't no racist guy, too.
Wacko told me that some of the guys in Florencia, his friends, are also black. And it's really interesting to note that some of the drug customers or dealers that Florencia 13 is alleged to have controlled also were African American.
Earl, you've written this book, The Latino Challenge to Black America. When you hear Mondalit's reporting, what is the cut that you're hearing on this situation from the African-American community, particularly since you run a political forum that is based here in Los Angeles? What are you hearing?
Well, it's a mixed bag. On the one hand, we have a number of African-Americans that have very good relations. I'm talking about community leaders, some of the civil rights activists, and some of those that are actually on the ground working on a day-to-day basis with black-Latino relations. In our forums, we've had a number of forums on black-Latino relations where we brought people together, hashed out some of the problems, and actually have had some coalition efforts around certain issues, gang violence, issues involving deterioration in some of the communities. So there has been a willingness to work together. On the ground, listening to the young man, there's hope there. Because what it shows is when people are left, especially young people, to their own devices, they can actually get along. Unfortunately, what happens, things are manipulated from the outside by other vested interests. Obviously, in this case, we have the gangs, we have the prison direction that's coming from some of these gangs. But I think overall, the mood is this. If the leadership, and this is critically important, can step up to the plate when sensitive issues come up, problems come up, even flashpoint problems come up, I think we can get a handle on it. And we've shown that time and time again in issues particularly involving violence and attacks in our community.
Sheriff Baca, when you hear Earl talk about this situation, there's got to be a delicate balance between the aggressive prosecution and realizing that L.A. can be a racial tinderbox. Do you take that into account as you're proceeding?
You have several subcultures within the races. First of all, gang members, whether they're black or Latino, don't speak for an entire community. They're criminals to a certain extent, especially those that carry the guns and do the drug dealing and do the shooting, and it goes mostly within the race. And then yet when it crosses over, as we've seen with Florencia as an example, it's also the South Sider gang members in jails. The county jail suffered a couple years ago some extensive rioting where Latinos, at the instruction of Mexican mafia in the prisons, were attacking randomly any black inmate. And I think that we have to separate the reality that those who are lost to the success path, and that's usually a gang member, and that's why I'm working diligently to do intervention work to keep kids out of gangs, black or Latino, that really the gang members are not going to dictate race relations. That's really where those of us who have things that are more important than committing crimes, you know, standard community leader is not a criminal, and thus we have to take away the conversation and put it right where it belongs, and that is young people in gangs are dangerous. They do dangerous things, and they're insensitive to race relations at times. And when they have a gun in their hand, they're going to kill an innocent person.
Mondalit, a Los Angeles Times article last year about this story had a headline that read, "Gang Rivalry Grows into Race War." From your coverage of the story, what do you think about that very loaded term of race war?
Well, like you said, it is a loaded term. And just like the investigator from the U.S. Attorney's Office that I spoke to, I am also very, very cautious about calling this situation a race war. It seems like really inflammatory language. And in fact, the investigator, Peter Hernandez, was more careful to say that specific instructions from state prison were given to have the members try to cleanse the neighborhood of its rivals. Some of them are black, like the East Coast Crips, and others are Latino.
Earl, what about this question? Is race war is a term that's often been applied to white supremacists or used by white supremacists. Does it apply in this case?
Well, I think it doesn't. And in this sense, when you really look at the violence, between African Americans and Latinos. It's really not between African Americans and Latinos. At the street level, the overwhelming majority of crimes, whether we're talking about murders, assaults, or whatever, it's black on black, Latino on Latino. That hasn't changed. The problem is when there's one crossover, an attack by a Latino on a black on Latino, it's blown up. It's sensational. It makes news, just like when a white attacks a black. But that's not the norm. So that's why I go back to what I said before. Even though, yes, there is obviously racial tensions, racial problems, I think to say a race war really, really does disservice to what's happening.
Sheriff Baca, what do you see ahead in this whole investigation?
Well, I think what's happening is that right now I'm working on, with the county and the city of Los Angeles, a gang emergency operations center where we can coordinate all the things that go on regarding gangs. Only about 2% are involved with the heavy-duty gun shooting and killings and the things that we all are appalled by. What we need now is to realize that young people need jobs, young people need to stay in school, young people need to have opportunities. That's why I have three athletic centers and activity centers for youth, and one in Compton, one in the Vermont area, and one in Florence Firestone. And police have to reform to the degree that we're involved with the intervention piece, not just the enforcement piece. We're never going to arrest our way out of this gang problem. We need a paradigm shift.
Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Los Angeles County Sheriff Lee Baca, also NPR's Mandalit Del Barco, and Earl Ofari Hutchinson, author of The Latino Challenge to Black America. Those two join me here at our NPR West studios.